We are building this series of messages on building battlements, spiritual battlements, to protect our children. Now this verse says, when thou buildest a new house, thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house if any man fall from thence. In other words, it's a responsibility of the house builder, the man who owns a house, when he builds a new house, to put a battlement, a banister around. All the roofs were flat in those days, and so they used them a great deal. They were, especially in the late afternoon after the sun went down, cooled off tremendously in those desert areas, and so they used them a great deal for entertainment, eating, and other things on the roof. And so it was a responsibility of the man who built the house to build this battlement so that people would not fall off the roof. Now, we're taking this in a spiritual vein. It lends itself to it, certainly, that it is parents' responsibility when they're building a home, father, mother, children, that it's their responsibility to put battlements around the roof, or battlements that would keep the children, when they leave the home, from going astray. In other words, for protection, to build into them this security and this protection. Now, I want to read some scripture first to you. If you'll turn back to Leviticus chapter 19, it's interesting how much teaching in the Old Testament is done to instruct parents about rearing their children, or things that their children should learn. Sometimes it doesn't specifically say that this is what the parents should teach the children, but it teaches it as should be taught and to be taught to the people, and certainly parents would have the responsibility of teaching it to the children. Now, let's read. We won't spend a lot of time with this. I just want to use this to show that how much the Old Testament does deal with these kind of things. In Leviticus 19, verse 9, and when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. This is something that should be taught to children. We say it this way: leave something on the plate for somebody else. You know, we were taught that at home. You know, don't take the last biscuit. Don't take the last piece of toast, unless it's passed to you or you're asked to take it, or without some instruction. In other words, it's this principle of not grabbing to get for yourself the last of the food that's on the plate. That's a principle. Now, let's read on. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. Covered an awful lot in that verse, having to do with stealing, dealing falsely, and lying. They all tie together. They always do. Anybody who steals certainly will lie, and anybody who will lie will steal. It's something that we learned early, and something we need to teach our children. One of those battlements that need to be built there. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. And that, of course, goes in with the commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for he will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. And that's something that needs to be drilled into children, this fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. He is the Lord God. He is the great and mighty God, and he is above all, and we are to hold him above all in awe and respect and fear. And so we are not to profane his name. Now, verse 13, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him the wages of him that is hired, shalt not abide with thee all night until the morning. And you've got someone who does a job for you, works for you, and you've agreed to pay him a certain amount. Well, when the day is finished, if you have the money, you're to pay him. Now, you shouldn't have asked him to work today if you didn't have the money to pay him today. That's the point. Especially, this would be true with the poor, people who didn't have a lot, of course, and worked for you. then it's your responsibility to, in other words, don't bargain for what you can't pay for. If you're going to have somebody work for you, then be prepared to pay them when they finish the day, when they finish their job. And it says that you're not to keep the money and let it abide with thee all night until the morning. Then verse 14, thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God. Isn't it interesting that this is tied to the fear of God? How you treat the handicapped, how you treat cripple or handicapped people in whatever way, whether deaf or in speech or in body, limb, mind, whatever, you are to recognize and treat them with kindness and compassion. And that's something certainly that we need to teach our children, isn't it? We need to really drill into them how they should behave and how they should treat people who are less fortunate than they are in a physical manner, and to look after them. So that's very important. Isn't it interesting how many of these things are the same kind of things, of course, we were taught, I trust, and should be teaching our children now. And as I said, the fear of God is tied with that. God knows he's handicapped, and it's one of the problems they have in schools, always been a problem, bullying. People especially, usually the bully picks on somebody inferior, somebody that has a weakness, somebody that he feels that he's superior to. That's the bully, you know, and the way he does, what he does. Now, verse 15, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, isn't that interesting, nor honor the person of the mighty. In other words, you're to be just in your dealing with every person. Just because a person is poor, you don't let him get by with something illegal or something that he shouldn't do or whatever. You're to judge him on the same basis you would judge the well-off man or the one who is mighty, as it's called here. So we're to have righteousness in our judgment. Righteousness in our judgment. Fairness. Complete fairness. You know, folks, we pass that off so easily and people say, oh, well, I'm fair. Oh, well, I'm fair. I want to tell you, I've watched this over the years, and there's an awful lot of people that aren't fair. They will lean toward one or the other, maybe somebody, a child in their classroom, maybe a teacher, because that child is a weaker, less gifted child or something like that. They will give them extra, see? And then the child that is unusually brilliant and smart, they may cut them a little or something. In other words, they will lean toward the weaker one or something in judgment. And that is in their grades or in their schooling. We're not to do that. We're to be fair and just. We're not to have unjust balances. And we're going to get to that in this thing as well, which has to do with the same thing. But, you know, we usually think, well, if we're going to lean one way, let's lean toward the poor. By the way, this respect the person of the poor doesn't necessarily mean poor in as far as wealth is concerned. It could be poor in other qualities or characteristics. But we're not to honor them above the other, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. All right? Now, in all your dealings, verse 16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Now, this standing against the blood of thy neighbor, in other words, has to do with if someone has shed someone else's blood, you're not to protect them or you're not to look after them in that sense. In other words, first of all, you're not to be a talebearer, passing tales along, or standing against the blood of thy neighbor. Verse 17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. In other words, instead, if your neighbor has done something against you that he needs to be spoken to, speak to him. Don't just hate him. and go on your way, and then continue to hate the man and hate the man. Say, that man, he did it, man, he did that. No, if he's your neighbor and he's done something against you, go to the man and tell the man and face the man and get it worked out. So you don't have to be go around with hate in your heart. Now, Jesus taught us, of course, that hate is the same as murder. We're guilty of murder if we hate in our heart, Jesus taught us. So this is very important. Now, verse 18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And this is certainly the responsibility of parents to teach our children how they are to act and behave toward neighbors, and neighbor reaches out much further than just the person next door. All right. Verse 19, ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. Now, these are not particularly things that would be taught for children, but these are things that have to do with separation, so that the people of God are separated properly unto the Lord. Verse 32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. Hoary means a gray-headed man. Honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord. Now this is something that is just lacking so much today and so important in people, in our children, is respect for age. You know, age is one of the few social, if not the only social barrier or difference that God created. Now, social, some people are poor, some people are rich, maybe it's because their fathers or grandfathers, and it didn't come directly as hand of God. But this matter of when you were born is of God. The fact that you were born before others requires others that are younger to show you respect. Now, that doesn't mean let you get away with something or do foolish things or things like that. That doesn't mean that. But we taught our children, and hope that they always did, and taught their children, when an older person comes into the room, if there's not a seat, you get up. You don't stay seated when someone older is standing. Now, that's the kind of thing we're talking about here, respect for age. It's one of the great foundations of our country, but it's being eroded today. Or is it being eroded? There's just no respect in a lot of places with a lot of young folks for age. Now, so that is very important. And then look at verse 35, the repeat. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Now, this is in meter yard, in weight, or in measure. In other words, the scales are supposed to be accurate. The butcher is not supposed to add his thumb to the weight of the meat. You know, I used to pick some cotton. Yeah, I go back that far. Out there in the Pace area community, and when I was a kid, first money I ever made was picking cotton. And I made $1.65 one summer. You say, boy, you didn't pick much cotton. I picked a lot more than I wanted to, I'll tell you that, because it didn't pay for about 2 cents a pound, something like that, for picking it. And but anyway, those scales, you know, they put a cotton ball into the corner of the sack and hook it over that scale and then slide it, you know, till it get balanced. And boy, you watching that, hoping it'd be as heavy as possible. But can you imagine if somebody like that, a young fella, picked and then somebody cheated him out of some of his wealth, of his money, because of a bad scale, and they knew the scale was set that way. Well, but that's not unusual and has happened many times, and that's the reason why in the state they have people who go around to all the grocery store and all the other places and check the scale. They check the gasoline pumps, or you're pumping a full gallon. They check the scales and so forth, or you're weighing out a full pound and so forth, because there's still cheats in the world. I guess maybe more than ever, because there's more people in the world. But anyway, that's one of the things to be careful about, to watch. And then, last of all, in this chapter, Verse 36, just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall you have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now one verse over in chapter 20, verse 9, we'll finish with this part. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. You say, boy, that's a pretty tough rule. I tell you what, they didn't have much juvenile delinquency in those days. It took care of the juvenile delinquency. I'll give you one example here in Deuteronomy. If you'll turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 21, and let's read about this example we have here of how they handled juveniles who were delinquent or had a problem. Verse 18 of chapter 21 in Deuteronomy. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father. Notice, you always find that in Scripture. The word is always voice. Obey the voice. Obey the voice. Obey the voice. See, it's the voice that has authority. And it's supposed to carry authority. The father's supposed to carry that authority. Well, and he says, so he won't obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. That's what you say. This old argument, does it have any effect? Or you know, is it a deterrent? It's a deterrent. Go out there and watch that young fella because he wouldn't obey his mom and dad, get stoned to death, and the rest of the kids in the community shaped up pretty well, I expect. Now, verse 22, and if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on the tree, his body shall not remain all the night. That's why it's concerning the Lord Jesus, and those thieves were taken down from the cross before night. Well, I wanted to look at those as some of the Old Testament instructions. Now, what I want to do now is turn to the book of Proverbs. And we're going to run through some verses in Proverbs and see what the book of Proverbs has to say about this. Now, and then finally, when we'll lay out some general and specific battlements that need to be erected in our home to keep our children from falling off the roof, so to speak, and going bad and becoming problems and trouble. All right? Let's start in Proverbs 13, verse 24, and we're just going to comment a word or two and move on along in these Proverbs that are here. You see, the Bible is very clear to give us instructions, to give parents instructions. You don't have to go into parenthood blind. You don't have to go into the business of rearing children not knowing what God expects or what God requires. We can know what God expects. We can know what God requires if we'll get into the Bible, if we'll get into the Word. And this is what we have to do, because here's where we get our instruction. You don't get it from the social people or the children's society or any of these places. Their methods and things, you can't do what's necessary early on with your children so that you can have some real ladies and gentlemen when they grow up. But the Bible teaches us how to do it, folks. There's no reason for us to fail. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to be perfect at it or our children are going to be perfect. But there's no reason for us to fail in this business. There's so many instructions given. Let's look at chapter 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. I wonder how many of us believe that statement. You know, hate. Hate his son. Now this is a comparative word. Understand this. In other words, his love for the child is so far off till it's as if the man hates. In other words, the effect is the same as hate. You hear people talk to their children, you think they hate them. You know? I was at Hall Walmart parking lot the other night, and a lady walking along with her husband and a couple of kids, and boy, she's growling. All kids hear. Some of them, you know, is just erratic, growling and hollering and fussing at them in a way that it does nothing but turn you off. You know, that's just what they do, is turn you off. And it doesn't get anything accomplished. So this is so important. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Now that's the way it is. Now notice, this is rod, and this is a very definite instrument. I want to say this, and I don't get much response on it, actually, and except some of our people who certainly have learned this and practice it. But a rod is a switch. It's not a belt. It's not a strap. It's not a board. It is a switch. Choder is the Hebrew word. And it means a shoot from a stump. Now, if you can make that out to be anything but a switch, then you go ahead. But God has I want to tell you, God has supernaturally blessed switches. And they work in a way that no other instrument that you can use on your child works. Because what it does is it stings, it burns. It hurts, and it doesn't bruise. It doesn't, you may get a little stripe, a little blueness or something from the stripe, but if you do use it in the right place where God has provided, you'll never damage your child. You'll never damage your child. Now, anything can be used to abuse if you feel wild and out of control yourself. You should never whip a child when you're mad or when you're upset. If you are, just wait, calm down, and do it. So I say, well, we got to do it right now. We got to do it right now. No, you don't. No, you don't. It works. I mean, there's no question about what it does. It has its desired effect. That old whistle, that switch, that whistle that it does, you know, as it comes, and you never forget it. It records up here. You got a place up here, you put it down here, and it records up here. And you never forget it. If you've ever had a good switching, you never will forget it. And you have to have very few. Very few. If you get to a child, you know, past 5 or 6, somewhere in that area, if you do it right in the first 2 or 3 years, you can enjoy them the rest of your life. I'm telling you the truth. It works. Oh, you may have to pull it out occasionally. They may try themselves at certain ages, and you may have to put it on them again. But what I'm telling you is the rod, and that's what it's talking about here. When it says rod in the scripture, that's what it means. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. And you know the beautiful thing about the rod, you can use, you know, they're little teeny switches like that. They're just beautiful for little babies. Yeah, little small, two-week-old babies. Somebody said, you might wait with girls for 2 weeks, but you better get started on those boys the first day. But I don't know. Sometimes I found the girls to be as bad or worse than the boys. You know, I know these girls aren't. I look at them and see how sweet they are. But, you know, that's the thing about these rods. They come from little things all the way down, right on down, you know, to the good size for the bigger grown ones, you know, and they work. God ordained them to work, and they will work when people use them and use them properly. Now, so he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, what does that mean? It means he disciplines him diligently and early. That's what the translation of that is. Now, Proverbs 15, verse 10. You turn there. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. You can always tell when a child's guilty. It's when he gets upset when you get on him for something. You know he did it. Now, if he doesn't get upset when you get on him for something, you may check out. You may find out he didn't do it. But if he gets upset, you can be sure that correction's grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Proverbs 19. You'll move along here. Look at these verses. You may want to mark them or something so you can come back and spend more time with them as a parent. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Now, let me give you the New American Standard translation of that phrase, or the last part of it. Chasten thy son while there's hope. In other words, that says there'll be a time when it's too late. It won't do any good. It's too late. Now, let not thy soul spare for his crying is this. Do not desire his death. You remember that story we read where they stoned the teenager? Well, this is what they're saying here. The law was to stone him. And so parents could sometimes get so upset that they desired the death. And he said, don't get that far with them to where you are desiring that they die. Let's go to Proverbs 20, verse 30. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Stripes, see? Blueness of the wound. This speaks, of course, of the switch, obviously. But now let's read that in the New American Standard. Stripes that hurt scour away evil, and strokes reach the innermost parts. You want to get to the heart of a child? You want to get to the seat of the emotions and where the child is and lives? That's the way you do it, you see, with stripes that hurt, that sting. They'll sting sometimes 15, 20 minutes later. You really feel them, you know, when they sting. Now, I know a verse that we know so well, Proverbs 22, 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that word old has led some folks to confusion, because they say, oh, well, it means when he gets to be 70, 80 years old, he'll come back. No, the word is the word for beard. In other words, what it's saying is when he gets old enough to be considered a man, when he gets grown, when he's able to grow a beard, he will not depart from it. It means that if you discipline, raise him right, he's going to turn out right. He's going to be right. Proverbs 22:15. Let's look on further in that chapter. Foolishness. Now, here's a word that needs a little attention. It says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod, there again it's the switch, of correction shall drive it far from him. Now this word foolishness means the desire to be on top. Let's read it that way. The desire to be on top is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from it. It'll humble him and get him out of that mood, in a hurry. Proverbs 23, let's look there in verse 13 and 14. Now this is the promise, by the way, friends. Now, there are those men who call themselves fundamentalists who say that the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, particularly the book of Proverbs, are just general statements. You can't take them as promises. I beg to differ with that. You can take any scripture as a promise. If it's for you and given to you, you can take it for a promise. This one is for parents. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him or smitest him, with the rod, he shall not die. That's a promise. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, or smite him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. How many of you believe that? Okay? We just don't believe what God has said. The rod will save your child's soul. Boy, you know, I in the millennium, I'm looking forward to what the practices and what God will do and how parents will go about the business of rearing their children. It's going to be, see, in the millennium, we'll be rid of all the false ideas. We'll be rid of all the educational ideas and psychological ideas and all the psychobabble, you know, that we are so crammed with today that crowds out the Word of God. But when Jesus comes to rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years, he's going to run it right. And we're going to see children raised according to the Bible, according to the Scripture. And how wonderful that's going to be. Now, two more verses, we're going to go to prayer. Proverbs 29:15. Turn there, Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. That, we could read this way, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way bringeth his mother to shame. The child who gets his own way. The rod and reproof. It doesn't say reproof and the rod. You start with the rod, and once you've used that, then reproof is all you need in the future. Most times, sometimes you have to go back and get it, but it establishes your word. Proverbs 29:17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Oh, the sadness and the sorrow of hearts and homes that are in such confusion and such a mess because of neglecting the most important thing that we could be about, and that's rearing the right kind of children to God.